Welcome back to the Lenses Podcast. It's show 122. This week's guest is James Murray, a man of few internet words, but much more a visual kind of man, particularly with the Holger and the pinhole. So we unmask James Murray, and lovely conversation it is to enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the Lensless Podcast. It's recording or show 122, and it's just me. Well, it's not just me. Me and a guest today. Corey was due to be on this recording, and we did try. Honestly, we did try, but we had some gremlins. I don't think they were anchor gremlins, but they were definitely gremlins. But we're back on it. Today, and we're recording this as we stand on a Friday, so it's all a bit difficult for Corey to join us. But I am really pleased to say that we've finally got to grips with the technology, and James Murray has joined us. Hello, James.
Hi there.
It's good to finally get you connected.
Eventually, yeah.
So anyway, just for the record, listeners out there, there's only 122 shows. We tell everybody that you need a phone. If we invite you on the podcast, you need to have your phone, you need to have the Anchor app, which you do on your phone, but you can't do it from a laptop and you can't do it from an iPad. Well, I do know for definite now, after 4 years and 122 shows, you can, as a guest, use your laptop, James?
That's right, yeah. It's basically the same. You just send the link and that's it.
I sent you a link on the email, and you just poked it into Googly or whatever you did. Brilliant. Just
click it and it goes to the Anchor.
All right. Page. Okay. Oh, just straight off the link.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. We learn something every new sheet. Always like to learn. Now, James.
Yes.
I've written down here, mystery man.
Yeah, that's good, actually. All right. I quite like that.
So I've written down mystery man, more visual. Fewer words.
That's right as well.
So I've got you nailed, haven't I? See,
yeah.
I'm not a psychoanalyst, but someone who posts a lot of images and doesn't say a lot.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's lovely that you agreed to come on. So
yeah.
Given that you're a mystery man and people don't really know too much about you, so in as few or as many words as you want, tell us a bit about yourself and your journey into photography, and indeed into sort of lo-fi-ish photography. I know you do digital stuff as well, and you know, we can talk about that. So fire away, tell us about yourself.
Okay, so I guess when I was probably about 10 or 11, I used to go with my uncle, who was a press photographer, on a few shoots, and he used to take me into his darkroom at his works, and he used to show me how to do all the printing. So I thought, yeah, this is brilliant, I love this. So I guess when I was probably 16 and first started work, I got my own darkroom, did a lot of printing, stuff like that. And then after probably 6 or 7 years, I thought, you know, I should really be doing this. I was working in engineering at the moment at that time. So I thought, yeah, I really want to do this photography. You know, I think I could do it as a living. So I was working in London by the Mail, and there was this fashion photographer photographing these two beautiful women, and I thought, I should be doing that. So went back to work, packed all my tools up and left, basically.
What you just said, look, yeah. What sort of engineering were you doing?
Sort of industrial heating.
Well, yeah, that doesn't sound very sexy, does it? So did you just walk in and say,
yeah, I'm leaving,
I've had enough of this, I'm going off to photograph beautiful women?
Yeah,
and they said, yeah, of course you are, James.
So I did leave, and then probably I just ended up phoning loads of photographers up to sort of get assisting work. And then probably a week later, I started working with lots of different photographers. So I was kind of lucky, really, because it was sort of a bit of a boom time in photography. And I did that for sort of maybe 10 years or so.
Just let me stop you. Hang on, James. Let me just for context, what year were we talking? You said a boom time in photography.
So that's the 80s.
Right, so we're still firmly in the digital is just a
Well, I
fairy tale.
mean, kind of. I mean, I started off and it was all film. So everything was used to shoot Polaroid and then it all was transparency.
Yep, because
So,
everything for publication
yeah, it was
was
transparent.
transparency, wasn't it?
Yeah,
You
so we
know?
always shot Polaroid, stuff like that, you know, 10-8 Polaroid, 5-4, just masses of it. Then we shoot the film basically. But then I don't know, it's just started getting more digital, you know, in the a lot of editorial stuff said, you know, we want digital. But in that at that time you were talking like £20,000 for back for Hasselblad or something like that. So it was just out the reach, and I was just getting sort of a bit disillusioned with it all.
So people you would be normally approaching with your
Yeah, they were.
transparencies either
Yeah.
would they have been medium or large format transparencies or 35
Both
mil?
really. Not much 20, not much 35 mil, because really, sort of professionally, they never used it, hardly ever, unless you were doing sort of newspaper or reportage sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't, it would always be 5.4 or 120, and sometimes 10.8.
So
But
they started saying to you, James, we you know
yeah.
you gotta move with the times, boy. You
Yeah,
gotta
do digital,
do
do digital.
this new digital thing is the future.
Yeah, because then it would cut out. They would, because what they really wanted you to do was just literally shoot it on digital, do a bit of editing yourself, and send them the file. So it would cut out, you know, it would be cheaper for them anyway. But it was just the now it, digital's cheap, but then to set up sort of digital stuff, it was just so expensive, you know, because you had to get drum scans and all sorts of stuff. And it was just, you know, it just got too much for most people because they just got fed up of it, because they were cutting people's money back and all this. And then my son was born, so I decided, oh, I'm not going to do this. So I went back doing engineering for a while.
Something more predictable that you knew you could
Yes.
fall back on.
Yeah, exactly. And I just sort of got really disillusioned with photography for probably about 3 or 4 years. I didn't do anything. And then once digital cameras were a bit cheap, I thought, oh, I'll buy a digital camera, and I just started using that for a while. And then basically I got sick of digital cameras as well. And I just found
What
so
made you
I
so
don't know, it's just too everything's too perfect. You know, like you could just point it and you get a good shot. I
Yeah,
don't
but
know, I just
isn't that's surely that I'm playing
that's
devil's
for what
advocate now.
most people want, yeah.
Yeah, that makes life easy, doesn't
But
it?
it,
If you're on
you know,
holiday or you're a wedding or you're shooting
yeah, it's
weddings, you know.
that sort of stuff. But I just found it was just too perfect. So you'd look at a shot and you think, yeah, oh, that's brilliant. But it's just, I don't know. I think it's with analog, you get more faults in it. So it's sort of, I think your brain tends to look at things and think, you know, like you see like Cartier-Bresson and stuff, you know, they're timeless. Because there's like little faults in them, you know, but when with the digital, there's no, it's faultless, you know, you can't see the grain half the time. And I don't know, I just got sick of doing that. And then I just sort of thought, I know, I'll start shooting some film again. And I had like my old Nikon FM2, so I started shooting some of
When
that.
are we? Sorry, just for again timelines, because timelines are really interesting with
Yeah.
the state of the film industry and people coming back into it or discovering it for the first time. So when are we talking now?
Probably 2017, something like
Okay,
that.
so not so long ago then.
No, I mean, I did digital for quite a long time, you know, just for myself, and I did the few odd jobs still with sort of old contacts I had. But I don't know, I just got fed up of digital. It just, because it was instant. So you was, and you see people do it now as well. I was sort of shooting something, looking on the back of the camera. Scenario, yeah, that's all right, and then doing it again. And then, whilst I was looking on the back of the camera, I'd miss something, you know, because I'd sort of too busy rewinding and going forward. And so, I just thought, oh, I'll just try out doing some film. So, I thought, yeah, I still had all my own developing stuff. I haven't
Did you
got
have a
my.
dark room then at that
I
point
used
at
to
all?
have a dark room a long time ago, but I haven't really got access to one now, but I still do all my own developing and stuff like that, which I actually quite like developing. I know you love the dark room, but I never used to like it going in the dark room. I used to prefer to actually go out and shoot stuff and go
That's
in the dark
a
room.
whole podcast in itself about that, and I'll wait until I'm a guest on a podcast before I spout on about it too much, but
Yeah, when a lot of people love it, I just didn't like it. Even when I was doing it sort of professionally, I didn't like it that much. I didn't mind processing stuff. I just didn't like going in the dark room that much. I mean, I was pretty good at it, but I just didn't like it
But
much.
it was
But
always before you could scan things easily, on decent, half decent flatbed scanners, or today with digital SLRs, so I'm told, and all the paraphernalia that supports and makes life a bit easier for you to make scans. Before those days, if you wanted to realize a creative end result and not just something from, the mini lab, which often wasn't that creative, you had no choice, did you, but to go in the dark room.
I mean, I always used to do like lots of lift prints, but then there was like now it's probably a bit harder, but then there was just a paper. I can't remember what it was called. It was just one. I don't know if it was made by Kodak or something. It was just lith paper,
Well,
and you used to, yeah, sorry.
the lift paper, wasn't that originally used in sort of for copying purposes,
Yeah,
or
something like, I can't remember what it was called, but everybody was doing lith prints, and you just got a. I think it was a special developer, but it was just really easy to do. I think it's a lot harder to do now, isn't it?
well, it's I think the whole thing has shifted slightly, because I think if you look back in some of the tech, I'll have to get some old books out on lith printing as it was defined in the 80s. It would almost be the image was very sort of high contrast, like tone lines and blacks and whites. And then Tim Rudman, who, most listeners are probably familiar with the work of Tim Rudman. He really spent a lot of time experimenting with lith developers, which were meant to be paired with the lith papers that you're talking about.
That's
He
right.
spent many years, it was years, seeing how they worked with modern, in the 1980s, papers. And of course, we had papers by the likes of Seagull. Kentmere were making papers before they got taken over by Ilford. Such as Art Classic, which was a sort of dimpled paper but with very heavy levels of something called cadmium in it, which, like everything else in life, all the nasty things that are bad for the environment but are good for you or your hobbies get banned. So he discovered that using lith developers, you could get a result, some kind of artistic result on modern papers. But it wasn't like the old lith results that you're talking about. This was diluting the lith developer, maybe one part to 30 or 50, and at room temperature, which here in the UK is about 20 degrees or so, if you're lucky, although 30 or more recently. You would, if you heavily overexposed the paper, so three or four stops worth of overexposure. So work out the time for a basic print, heavily overexposed, three or four stops, and then use a very dilute developer. After maybe 5 minutes, if you're lucky, you start seeing the heavily exposed areas start to show up. And the blacks start to come through, and they get darker and darker and darker. And you can watch them under a red safe light or a torch, red torch, if you're, not too, don't shine it on it for too long. And at some point, you have to judge when the blacks are right, and they and he calls that he coined the term. I think he coined the term anyway. Snatch point, and the snatch point is the point at which you grab hold of the print and chuck it in the fixer, just straight in or stop
Right.
path. No, stop path. Chuck it straight in the stop path. And if you've got it all right, you'll get beautiful, lush, deep, rich blacks, and then the highlights go some kind of creamy, peachy, pinky, browny color, depending on the paper.
Okay.
And you can tweak the highlights by giving more or less exposure initially, and that'll change whether how much whether the highlights are glowing or they've got more details. But anyway, he's got some books out on Lith printing. The trouble is they're, you know, they're quoting papers that are no longer available. These days, you can, most people would use Foma paper 131 or 132. They work well. You can tone them and change the change the image color. You can lift print with Ilford warm tone paper to some degree, or folks go on the hunt for old paper stocks, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I used to really like shooting on the infrared Kodak infrared film, and then putting it on.
I was rubbish at that.
But I just loved that film so much. It was just a massive disappointment when they stopped doing it. I mean, I've tried all other different infrared stuff. I do it digitally as well. I mean, that's probably about the only digital stuff I do now is infrared, but. You still can't get that look of the Kodak infrared. It was hard to use, and you had to load it in darkness and all sorts of stuff. But it was just, some of the results you got were absolutely amazing. Just I find it hard to reproduce that now, so it's a bit sad. But I've used the Washi F. That's almost getting there because it's got no. It's got no backing on the film, so all the highlights kind of get burnt out of it, which is quite nice.
So it has no anti-halation layer, that thing that stops the shadows
So the
going
highlight,
nuts, the highlights going nuts.
yeah. So that's quite a nice film to mess around with, but
So before I jumped in and
yeah.
started going down the lith printing rabbit hole, I think you were in your timeline, you were talking about
So yeah,
getting back into film, I think.
I sort of started shooting a bit of film. I thought, yeah, this is I quite like this because I got so used to seeing everything instantly. It was quite nice to sort of think about, like oh, it's when you actually process it, and also sometimes like with digital, you think, oh, this is a great shot, and you shoot it, and then you look on the back of the camera and it's crap. So then I think with film, you shoot something, yeah, that's a good shot, but you might not process it for a week. So by then, if it isn't any good, you're not that disappointed because you've kind of
Okay, so
forgotten.
I'm gonna have to jump in again here because this is we could have separate podcasts about pretty much every point you've made so far. So you do an instant response on the back of your camera. You know, you to use a derogatory term, you do a bit of chimping, which is whoo, whoo, whoo. We won't say that if you're a
Something
digital
like
photographer. So you look at it and you think
that.
your instant response is delete, 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 a bit like the Cybermen. Well, sometimes, for me anyway, and I can talk from my own experience, I'll look at a negative and I'll completely dismiss it, or I'll have a go at making a print and I'll completely dismiss it. And the passage of time, exactly, the passage of time means I can go back to that. Now, some things might have changed. My thought processes may have changed. My darkroom skills might have got better or worse. I might be working on a sort of project. My idea of what constitutes a nice inverted commas shot picture might have changed, you know. Yeah, I might have dismissed that negative. I might have dismissed that negative, James, because it had blank shadows, you know, and it wasn't a sort of well, quotes, well developed, you know, flexible negatives. Well, you know what? So what, you know?
Exactly. You can come back to it, because the way you think of things changes, like you said, over time, which is so I th that's why I quite like that as well. Just I don't know with digital, it's just I've just gone right off it really. I mean, I've got a few cameras still, but I hardly ever use them.
Do you use them for scanning? Sorry to jump in on another topic.
I have done, but I've got a for 35 mil. I just got an ordinary dedicated scanner, which is okay. I only use it for if I'm sort of doing. I've got a Horizon panoramic camera, so I only used it really for doing that. And which I mean, I do like that camera. It's a bit temperamental, but it's you
I've
get
got stacks of stack. I've got probably a dozen or more complete sleeved sets of negatives from my basic Horizon, which
yeah.
are in a separate project folder in the darkroom set, saying
Crazy.
Horizon.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I'm going to use them just for blog posts, you know,
Yeah.
because or for making postcards to send to people. That's probably my main use one. But you know, it's just such a fun. It's my favorite point and shoot camera because mine doesn't have any.
Oh, I
Well,
know. Yeah, it's the
mine's the basic
one.
compact one.
Yeah, I've got my ones. I don't know. It's probably about 20, 25 years old. I bought it years like when I
Is it
was
the
a kid.
metal-bodied one, the old Russian-style one?
No, not that one. It's like after that. So it's the
202?
202. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did buy it years and years ago when I was still in, when I was doing film. So I still kept that one.
Well, you can still
But
get those. Most of them seem to be
yeah.
from the Russian sellers. Well, I guess you can still get them. I don't know what the state of the
Yeah,
Russian-Ukrainian
I'm not
market
sure.
is.
I think they're worth a lot of money now, the ones.
Well, you could still get them. I mean, I bought an
Yeah.
S3, I think it was, which had bags of trouble with it. With it
Yeah.
worked, but it just leaked
Yeah.
like a holy camera.
Oh, God. Yeah. So well, I can't remember where I was now, but so
No, it's
then,
because I keep interrupting you.
yeah, no, we're sort of on the film thing, and then I thought, and I still actually had a Holga, which I
Oh, did you?
bought from about 30 years ago when they first started. I had to wait about 3 months for it to come, so I still had that one, but it was the S version.
Yeah, so I didn't know much about Holger S's until fairly recently, and then I did some research, and that was like the original
Yeah.
sort of one, wasn't it? And I forget what the different. I'm not a massive gear. I don't remember things about gear
Right.
very much, so I can't now remember what the difference was between the S and subsequent ones.
It was like, well, the newer ones, they had the sort of the light, the sunny and the shadow thing, they actually do work on the S. Didn't matter what if you put it on the sunny setting or the other one, it didn't make any difference. It was And then there was no tripod mount underneath and things like that.
Well, I've just stood up and you just triggered me into thinking something. And I've got a glass what
Oh, right.
glass lens holder, right, amongst my collection of holders. I'm just getting off the shelf now. There might be a big clatter in the background as they all fall down. I've got a Diana tied up with my Holger. So this Holger that Stig gave me, Steve Starr, Stig of them, he gave it to me because I was hankering after a glass Holger. And all my other Holgers, like you just said about those two apertures, all my other Holgers, when you change the little button for sunny or got on sound effects now because I'm opening the back. When you change the back to sunny or daylight, the little aperture moves across.
All right,
So
yes.
this one doesn't. So,
Yeah.
but it's not a Holger S. So I think I've just got a dodgy.
Yeah.
So something moves, right? So as I
Some do
swipe.
and some, because I've got a
Something
newer
moves, but it
one.
doesn't change the aperture. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got one like that, and it doesn't, even though it's a newer one, it doesn't change.
Right, okay. So it's just
So
like
it's just
crap
luck, really.
production.
But I always keep it on the same setting anyway, so it doesn't make any
Do you
difference.
keep yours on the cloudy setting or the sunny
Yeah,
setting? Yeah, me too.
always.
No, I do that no matter what the weather, even in
Yeah,
when I take it
bright
abroad,
sun.
even if I've got
Yeah.
HP5 in it and I'm in the bright sun, it's always on the cloudy setting.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, so I sort of started shooting with that a bit. I thought, yeah, this I quite like the lo-fi of it. It's just, I don't know, it's just something like I was saying before that I think sometimes if analog. because it's not perfect, it makes your eye more interested in it. And everything is so perfect, you look at it and that's it. You know, you it's I don't know, it's just too perfect, some stuff. There's no fault with it. But with I just think sometimes when stuff is not sharp, it's not all about sharpness. It's overrated, really. It's about the feel, really, I think. In the first what I tried to get in my shots, it's more the atmosphere or the feel of the place.
Well, there's certainly anyone we haven't got up to date with pinholes and things yet, but for folks want to who are not familiar with James's work, probably the easiest way to see his lo-fi images is to go to Instagram, and you need to. In fact, I was following him and didn't even realise a Speedy Snapper. So James is on there as Speedy Snapper, and you'll see all his work. And he uses Instagram. I'm talking about you as though you're not here. James, you use Instagram like a gallery, you know, which is
Yeah.
a really good way. And I started off using Instagram like this and quickly fell into the trap of posting pictures of cameras and
Yeah.
shots of the darkroom. So I use it in a very unstructured way. You're using it in a very structured way. And also, all your images are very atmospheric. They're all of the same. Broadly the same, if I can just call it light sepia, mostly anyway,
Yeah.
sepia-ish toned
Do color ones and that.
results, and nicely presented.
Thank you.
Lots of symmetries,
Yeah. Well,
lots
they
of,
seem to work well with
they
the.
do, yeah, lots of, yeah, atmospheric and moody
Yeah,
to
sounds
suit
better.
the mystery man of photography.
That's right, yeah.
So we'll explore some of those images in a while. So you're well into Holger pictures, and
Yeah,
I.
and pinhole. I mean, if the lock when lockdown came, I know it's sort of responsible for a lot of things, lockdown, but I just decided, you know, what am I gonna do for a few months? So I decided to make a pinhole, okay, like a 5-4-1, and this is before I even had heard of like Mr. Pinhole and all that. So I just kind of guessed it, and it was quite a good guess, and so I did get a few, you know, pretty good images from it. And then I just decided to just buy one. So I bought a Reality So Subtle 6.6, which I still use that a lot, which I really like.
Is
Just
it the what is it the filter
yeah,
one
the
or
filter one, yeah. But it's just so small and you know, it looks unobtrusive as well. So you can just
I'm a
buy
huge fan of that. As
anything.
anyone, I won't bore people even more than I do bore them on that, but yeah, I'm a huge
Yeah,
fan.
so I've got a few pinholes as well, but I've got I'm always chasing my tail trying to scan stuff and edit it. So I've got a lot of pinholes. There's not that much at the moment on Instagram, but I've got quite a lot to put on there. So it's just
Your
having the
most
time to
recent,
do it.
work on here is a lot of Holger stuff.
Yeah.
Well, some Holger stuff. The square stuff is that Holger?
Yeah, that's how there's one which is like sort of daffodils. There's a pinhole one.
Oh, that's the pinhole one, the wavy daffodils.
Yeah.
And then I notice you have got yourself, and I've had to stop myself because some of these cameras came back into stock recently, or they discovered them. The
Yeah.
Holger. The Holger 120 pan, so
Yeah.
it's not the pinhole
Yeah.
WPC, but the 6x12
Yeah,
camera
6x12. Yeah, they're hard, really hard to get hold of.
well, some came into stock, didn't they? I think you
Yeah.
can get them. Places like B&H
Yeah, I had to get
had
mine
them in
from
stock.
America. They're out of stock again now. But I quite like it. It's quite big and a bit cumbersome, but you can get some good shots with it.
Well, I resisted it because I've got a Bel Air,
Yeah.
and you know that's a camera I've got a love-hate
Yeah.
relationship with, and I thought, well, if I want kind of, and this isn't a derogatory comment, but let me just and I know we've talked about, let me just say it, poor quality 6x12 pictures.
Yeah.
I'll use that, and I'll use it for very specific reasons to get that creative feel for it.
Yeah.
But the gassy side of me very nearly jumped when they appeared in that America store. In fact, I might have even had it in the basket, and I thought, no, nah, come on. I think I was thinking about stopping work full time then, and I was trying to conserve, not spend too much money, you know. And I find once I've got over that initial thing, oh yeah, I've got to add it to the basket. I've got to, you know, get really excited about buying something. If I force myself to walk away from it and let the passage of time calm me down, then I'm not
You're all right.
quite so, I'm all right. Yeah, I've got over it. Yeah.
Yeah,
But I see you
so
fell for it. And you fell for it beautifully, because I'm looking at a picture you made, ooh, I don't know, a week ago maybe. And it's one of those windswept trees that look like they should be on the Yorkshire moors.
I think that one might be that one that I think that might be a Holger one, a Holger pinhole.
Oh, is it?
This it
All
there's
right,
three,
there we go.
isn't there? It's the one
Yeah, one of the. Oh, it is a pinhole one. That
Wiltshire.
one. Yeah, that's. Is that with the Holger wide?
Which I quite like
So,
that.
and then there's another one with
Then
another
you've
tree and a river. Maybe that was the.
that's the Holger Pan, yeah.
That's the Holger Pan. So
Yeah.
that's got less fall off at the edges. That's
Yeah, that's right.
not too bad, is it? I mean, all flat field wide cameras
Yeah.
experience a bit of fall off, and
But I quite like
the pinhole wides do, don't they? Oh
But
yeah, so that's got this, presumably that Holger Pan has got the same, you know, 1 meter, 2 meters, 6 meter settings.
yeah, it's basically it's that, yeah, it looks exactly the same, but just a bit bigger. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'd need to use it a bit more, but I just like the ordinary Holger, really. I like traveling light. Yeah, so
So the when did you so you built
I
the
built a
four
five
five
four,
camera,
yeah.
5.4 camera, sorry, not to be American. And was that what inspired, what possessed you then to suddenly
I
build a
don't know.
pinhole
I'd
camera?
sort of I looked at a few things. This is before I mean, it's before I sort of found the Lensless podcast, and I just sort of just guessed everything really on it, like the distance and then the pinhole size and everything. And I was probably just lucky, but it was just quite awkward to use, and it was heavy because it's made out of wood. So then I just decided to get, like I said, I got the Reality So Subtle one, and then I bought a Harman Titan, which I really like. I need to use that a bit more, really. But that's amazing camera. It's just so, it's almost like a real camera, so sharp.
M Mike makes lovely.
Yeah.
It's probably, in many ways, I've not used all large format pinhole cameras, but Mike's cameras are possibly some of the best out there.
Yeah.
You know, he made some good large format traditional cameras in the past. He may still have some for sale. I mean, that interchangeable cone idea
Yeah, that's really.
is neat. James has just introduced a 4.5 with different frames in,
Yeah,
hasn't he?
yeah.
So following on that sort of zero image idea, I guess, really,
Yeah.
to make the
I
focal
mean, I do
lengths
like
longer.
the Harman. It's because it's so light as well.
It's insane, isn't it? I've got two cones. Have you got more than one
I
cone,
just
or?
got one. I just got the standard one, which is
Yeah,
barely red.
pretty wide for a
Yeah.
large format camera, isn't it? So.
Yeah, so I kind of still sort of mostly I shoot with a Holger and a pinhole, and that's it really
Yeah, because it's just
now.
easier, isn't it? And
Yeah.
clearly it helps because your vision is narrowed down.
Yeah.
You're freeing up your creative juices and concentrating on the feel of the image and the picture rather than worrying
That's
about what
it,
lens or
yeah.
anything you're going to be using.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I really like, that's what I really like about it, is that, you know, you can go out and shoot something, and then it's the sort of feel of it, which then I put, you know, which then I go into Photoshop and then try and get that feel, you know, that maybe I was feeling at the time or something like that, you know. So that's why I quite like it, and pinhole as well, because it's not perfect. I've just got this thing about everything has to be so perfect, which is, that's probably why I've got into. I mean, it never used to be like that when I was doing it for a living. Everything had to be sharp, absolutely everything had to be properly exposed and stuff like that,
So your darkroom work is now done on the computer.
Yeah. So I scan it. I scan stuff with a scanner, and then it just goes into Photoshop, really, which I sort of use as a dark room because I've never really learned how to use it. Even though I've been using it a long time, I've never, learned how to use it as some people do, like loads of different layers and all this sort of stuff. I just sort of just got my own way of doing it all, which seems to
So
work.
I had before I got an upgrade on my laptop to Windows 11 maybe, I had Photoshop Elements and
Yeah.
oh my computer's about to die. I'll talk to you while I find the power lead. And I never really understood it, to be honest. I certainly never understood layout. I think I understood the concept of it, but
Yeah.
I never understood how to apply it, and I was too lazy to research it. And
Yeah.
to be honest, I didn't care enough, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, because like I said, I use it as like basically like a dark room. Where other people, like some of my friends are still doing photography commercially, they're sort of really good at, doing it the proper way, editing it the proper way. I just sort of found my way, own way of doing it, which I like.
So James, I'm looking at a picture of Tower Bridge in London, which isn't for our American listeners, isn't London Bridge, because you actually have a version of that at Lake
yeah.
Havasu. So you've got this picture
Oh
of
yeah,
Tower Bridge taken somewhere down on one of those sort of
it's on the
beachy, muddy areas. I'm
yeah you
not
can
quite
get
sure.
yeah it's by Shad Thames, so you can get down there when
Okie
the turns out.
dokie. You did a bit of mudlarking while you were down there, did you?
Yeah, didn't find anything
Yeah.
unfortunately though, but
You should hook up if you're down. Do you live in London or
well,
where?
I used to until last November, and I've kind of moved out to Wiltshire now, so
Oh,
not
right, yeah.
far from Stonehenge.
Right. Oh, wow.
So,
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute then. So you've suddenly got another new area
well,
to
yeah,
get
it's
you.
just like chalk and cheese, like
Yeah.
where
Whereabouts in London were you?
I used to live in North London.
Right, so you
So,
had London would be your stomping ground, I guess, for a lot of
yeah.
creative images. Now you're in the
So it's
country.
totally
Okay.
different.
All right, well, that's another area we can discuss in a moment. But this picture, right?
Yeah.
So Tower Bridge, I was going to say you should hook up with Tina Rowe, who makes pictures from oyster shells that she finds
All
on
right.
in such areas as
Okay.
this, and she coats liquid emulsion onto them
Right.
and then projects found images onto them from lost families
Oh,
of
that sounds interesting.
yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this picture, right? So you've got a beautiful composition, but it looks like it's had some work done on it. Now, it's
Yeah.
HP5, and HP5 didn't normally look like this, okay?
No, it
So if I was
doesn't.
trying to, if I was tr trying to create this sort, if I had an idea and I was trying to do this in the darkroom, it almost looks like a lift print, and I would try and make a lift print to get this look,
Right.
and it's so folks listening, it's very char graphic. It looks
Yeah.
like, yeah, I don't know how to describe it. It is
Sort of,
sort of very graphic, isn't it?
yeah, and quite grainy and
It's
dark.
very, very grainy. It looks like the way the blacks clump together, James, that's what happens with this process called infectious
Right.
development. So the blacks, as you're watching the lift print, it comes up in the dark room in that same way,
Yeah.
and the black areas clump together more and more and
Yeah.
more, and you can either snatch it out before they join together, or you let it carry on and you're just left with more and more highlights, which is kind of what you're getting here. So
Yeah.
I never like to, if I go into a nice restaurant and I've had a lovely meal,
You don't like
I don't
that.
call the chef out and say,
How do you make
"Give us all your
that?
secrets." But I was just wondering, with this one picture, I've told you how I'd approach it. So with
Yeah.
this one picture, what would be your thought process on this? Because presumably, a six, a whole, an eight, HP5, is it HP5?
Yeah,
And
it's
HP5
HP5.
negative wouldn't really produce a picture like this
No.
normally.
So, it's all about like, it's just how, well, the way I did it like that is because that's how I felt there. It was quite dark and a bit moody there because it was in the shed that where I was standing was actually in the shadow of all these sort of old warehouses. So it was quite a bit grim anyway. So I kind of quite like that. So back on the computer, I just sort of overlaid it with like sort of film grain basically. You know, like years ago, I think Patterson used to
I
make
still got
film.
some. I've got some 35
Yeah,
mil. I've got some
basically
35
it's kind
millimeter
of
ones.
something like that.
Texture screens.
Yes, it was basically something
Yeah.
like that. And
Yeah.
then the sort of the out the little bit around the edges, that's sort of another kind of screen thing.
Is
And
it?
then it's just
Right.
sort of sepia'd a bit
So you're
in
using darkroom
Photoshop.
techniques really, aren't
Yeah,
you? So
that's
that's
why, I mean, that's why when Photoshop first sort of started making appearance, you know, years and years ago, I thought, oh, this is amazing because it means I can do everything I did in the dark room, but I don't have to go in the dark room. You know, like I could just do it for an hour and then just leave it till tomorrow and, you know, sort of work, do a bit of work on an image and then leave it and then come back to it an hour later or something like that. So that's why I kind of, so it,
I do see the attraction,
you
and
know, I
I'm
mean, there's nothing like a darkroom print that I must say, you know, holding it and stuff like that, but
well, you know, there isn't, but also the materials that are available today. I mean, I was
oh
talking,
yeah,
I'm talking
amazing.
to we're talking to Martin Henson, and
Yeah.
he produces stunning images. He doesn't
Yeah,
have he doesn't have a darkroom, you know.
I mean I've got a photo print as well, and that, you know, and if you get the right paper, it's nowadays with the inks, it's amazing. It's really hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, so it's horses for courses,
Yeah.
people out there. If you certainly the Lightroom, when I say Lightroom, I mean, you know,
Yeah.
computer darkroom is pretty much, I would have thought, more accessible to most people,
Yeah.
because I've just always done darkroom work. It's what I
Yeah.
like. It's what I like for lots of different reasons, but people often say, I've overheard them say in exhibitions, I see stuff online, and I try not to jump in, because people do what they want to do. But if, oh, you know, I'd like to capture the image in camera and
Yeah.
no post processing. Well, you know, it's darkroom work, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think you exemplified it by saying, look, I stood here. And I looked at this picture of Tower Bridge. I'm surrounded by old buildings,
Yeah.
and there's a lot gone on here. You know, if you read any Charles Dickens about
Yeah, yeah.
down at Limehouse, and down, you know, bodies being dragged out of the
Yeah.
Thames. So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking various Charles Dickens novels set in London around Limehouse. Bodies being dragged out by
Yeah.
the lightermen, you know.
Yeah.
And then you said, well, you know, then I'm feeling a bit, you know, feeling a bit moody. And I'm now gone in, I've got my negative, and you can do what you want with it. So
Yeah, that's
whether I went in the dark room and sandwiched it with a Patterson texture screen, which now I'm going to go and dig them out, you know.
Yeah.
I would love though some 120 texture screens.
Yeah.
Last time I made an appeal for a texture screen, someone sent me some 35 millimeter ones, but I don't see the 120 ones come up very often. But I've
Yeah.
got the 35 millimeter ones. I've also laid sheets of tissue paper over the print,
Yeah.
not flat, but just let it
I know what
take
you
its
mean, yeah.
own form, so you're getting highlights bleeding into the shadows. By doing that, as opposed to shadows bleeding into the highlights, if you put a bit of Vaseline on the end of your
Yeah.
filter on your camera, like we used to do in the 80s. And round the edge there, what would I do about, you've got this sort of grow,
Well, you could probably
almost,
do that quite easy. You know, you just mask it out, don't
you
you?
could mask it out. I've got a 120, a spare 120 insert for one of my
Yeah.
enlargers, which are filed out, so I could
Yeah,
so
that's.
I can get something that looks a bit grungy. That's almost looks like when I used to do a lot
Right.
more Polaroid, I'd peel all the white stuff off, you know, and you'd
Yeah.
get and then just scan it tightly round the peeled
Yeah,
off
that's why I
square
kind
bit.
of miss 55 Polaroid. I used to really love that.
Well, you worked with it all, didn't you? Now,
Yeah,
and I bet you just took it for granted, didn't you?
and that was like we just, I mean, used to buy more Polaroid than transparency film. You'd just shooting it constantly to get the right exposure, and you just took it for granted. You know, not that many people actually used to use Polaroid just as Polaroid. It was always,
A tool.
just to
It was
get the
either a
exposure.
tool that people used in the professional world, like with the Polaroid back on their Bronny or Hasselblad or whatever, or it was used as your family snapshot, wasn't
Yeah.
it? And since then, with
No, it's.
the rise of Impossible and now the rebranded Polaroid, which is old Impossible,
Yeah.
they've captured the middle ground a bit more,
Yeah, it's still.
But I missed it all, you see.
Yeah.
All that time, because I'm all that time, I was aware of Polaroid. I was vaguely aware of I'd seen in like a picture of an SX70
Yeah.
camera. But I think at the time, before the internet and before I understood how much fun it could all be, I just kind of dismissed it, you know,
Yeah.
as being like rubbish photography.
Yeah, exactly.
And so all the opportunity I had to, like, you know, you were saying, to discover
Yeah, I mean,
positive negative type 55, or you
oh
know,
no,
669 film and 108
oh.
Polaroid 108 peel apart stuff, which I discovered later, you know, but
Yeah, God, it's just like I can't believe how much we used to use, and it just, you know, on the 55, you shoot it, and then you just, oh, that's all right, and you just throw it in the bin afterwards. It's terrible, you know.
well,
It's like,
Ansel Adams helped develop the
yeah.
55 positive negative, and you know, a lot of his
Oh yeah, I
there's
mean,
one of his books, I forget which one it is I've got, and it's pretty much all done on
really,
55
yeah.
pos neg stuff.
No, I mean, it was a really nice film anyway. Occasionally, I would clear the negative and keep it and print from it, but I know it was a sad day, really. So, but yeah, I mean, so
Things.
really, I use Photoshop really to kind of express the feeling. You know, that I, you know, or because I know there was a question, somebody asked a question about that, what I do, wasn't there, in one of the questions, I
Oh yeah,
think.
I haven't. Yes, because we were
Yeah, we
meant to
got a
do this
bit.
podcast a week
Yeah,
ago,
yeah,
and I just messaged you about half an hour ago and said, "Should we try again?"
yeah.
There was
Yeah.
I'd completely forgot about the questions. I perhaps yeah,
Well, I
go
think we might have covered some of them.
talk about that while I dig them out. And what was so
Yeah.
what was the question about your giving away all your secrets? Is that what your
No,
question was?
something, you know, like, I think there was one. Do you go, you know, do you choose a camera to go out with, or do you think about what you're gonna do before you get there, or
It might have
what
been, was that
camera do you pick?
Julianne?
Yeah, I think
Julianne
so,
might have been
yeah.
her, yeah. So I think Julianne, who's going to be the next guest,
Yeah.
and Vincent Sebastian, who does all that cemetery stuff
Yeah,
with
yeah,
his,
yeah.
he's going to be a guest as well. So
Yeah.
they're obviously keen to ask questions so I don't forget them, you see.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I just sort of pick somewhere to go, really, and think, it's normally either a Holger or a Pinhole, and that's it. Or occasionally I might take the Horizon, but most of the time, 90% of the time, it's either a Holger or a Pinhole or both, and then just see what it's like there and shoot stuff, and then depending on how I felt when I was there, that's how I'd sort of go back into Photoshop and just decide how I'm going to do it, really. I don't really do projects. I know lots of people do, but
Some
I,
people do, some people don't.
yeah, I've
It's
never really.
whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. I know it should be quite a good way of doing it, but I never really, I just go out somewhere really.
Yeah, but you do, whether you like to admit it,
Subconsciously,
whether you
yeah.
do admit it or not, because you know that there are very strong themes running through your
Yeah.
images. So you are working. I think you are working.
Sort of.
Your vision is coming through both
Yeah.
with the type of gear that you're using and
Yeah.
the way you're feeling in the Lightroom.
Yeah.
Interpreting the negative to come up with something that fits how you felt at the time,
Yeah.
and that's all wonderfully creative. And I think that's just it's the way I try and use photography. It doesn't always work, but in my head, that's what I want to do, to make sense of the image in the dark room. You're making sense of the image in the light room.
Yeah.
And when I say making sense, you're bringing in how you felt, what the conditions were like, the atmosphere, the location,
Yeah.
and trying to, but also you clearly like that sort of look, to
Yeah.
put it quite simply.
Yeah, definitely.
So
But
Julianne said, how did you get into pinhole photography? Well, I think we kind of
yeah,
done
sort
that.
of happened
Did it come
quite
before Holger's or after,
well,
sort
I
of
think it's like
after?
after really, yeah.
Other cameras before that? Well, we've asked all that.
Yeah.
Large format. Well, you've done large format a
Yeah.
bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I used to do it quite a lot commercially.
Did you? What sort of equipment were you using back in the
I
day?
used to use Cynar stuff.
Of course you did. Monorail stuff. Was it studio work?
So not, I mean, I've still got a 5.4 camera.
Have you?
It's a Linhof
Yeah.
press camera, but it's like so heavy, but it's great camera. I never see them anywhere. This not the press phone, not this like a it was like a copy of the Speed graphic. So
Bit
I
like
was
the
the
one of the MPP cameras. That was a British
yeah
one,
it's
wasn't it?
basically the same as
Well,
that but a Linhof. So you can hand hold it. I should always keep meaning to actually just go out with that and hand hold everything and shoot some
Well, to be
stuff.
honest, if you want to do that these days, I think you're better off getting in touch with
Yeah, the
what's his name?
Chrome.
Chroma man, Steve
Yes,
Lloyd, Steve
yeah.
Lloyd, and getting one of his snapshot cameras,
Oh, I know, yeah, because it's a bit lighter. So, I mean, this is like everything's metal on it and it's just so heavy. So, gone are the days. But yes, I used to use 5.4 quite a lot and then 10.8 as well sometimes. Not that often, but. We used to use it sometimes, depending on what they wanted to shoot and if they had the budget for the film. So, what was the other questions? That was
There was Danny Kalkoven had said, a general question to all your guests. Well, this is a bit of a challenge. I'm going to have to
question.
try and remember this now. Well, I think we often talk about this. Do you combine pinhole with regular lens photography? Same approach. Oh, that's interesting. Well, you do, because with the Holger, you use Holger's. Yeah, so you're using Holger's. So this is quite interesting. You're using Holger's and pinhole. The Holger's have got a lens. Okay, it's a
Yeah.
single meniscus lens, but it does have a lens, and you're using pinhole. So are your thought processes and your approach to
Yeah.
photography the same?
Pretty much in the only thing with the pinhole, I tend to put it in a shoot more low down with a pinhole. I don't always take a big tripod.
I was going to
I've
say, is that because you don't have a tripod, or is
well, I've got
you
loads of
making the
tripods, but it's just like depending on what camera I take. If I take the Titan and I use a bigger tripod,
Yeah, of course.
but like with the reality, I just use sort of the little Manfrotto one, not the littlest one, but
The
the one that, yeah,
pixel
one
one, the
of
one with
those,
the slightly extendable legs.
yeah. So I use that, or I just sort of plonk it down somewhere. Like when I lived in London, even though I still go back there sort of maybe once a week, it's great in the city because I just used to put it like in a flower bed or something and just photograph the buildings and stuff like that. So the approach is slightly different depending on what I'm doing, but I always try and keep it, like once I get back to the Photoshop, then I'll try and keep it in the same feeling, but it's sort of a pro, technically it's approached slightly different, I think.
Sure, yeah, no, I can see that. Okay, So Julienne, and I think we've probably covered this. Do you have something in mind that you were hoping to capture before you pick up the camera and find a place to shoot? I think you're just going out, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of, because right where I'm living now, everywhere is new.
Yeah, so
So,
tell us about the challenges of moving from London, where,
yeah,
see,
it's a bit
I mean,
scary.
I'm looking forward to going into London for a weekend early September. So Julie and I are going in,
Yeah.
and I won't be taking a lot of different gear with me. I'm probably going to take my TLR or my Nikon F. I probably won't even take a pinhole camera, sorry.
Right.
But I'm really looking forward to it, just to be somewhere different, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I used to like, I love London actually, because I was born there anyway. So, proper Londoner.
Are you? Were you born within the
Yeah,
bells of
born
Bow
in
Bell?
Whitechapel.
Were you? Are you a proper? You're almost a. Are you
Yeah,
a proper
proper
Cockney?
geezer.
You are a
Yeah.
geezer, aren't you? Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say it. Yeah. You're a proper East Ender,
Yeah,
almost.
but then I kind of moved to North London, so escaped. So I used to love, I mean, I love going out in London. There's so much to do, you know, you can just get on the underground, just get
Yeah.
off anywhere, and there's sort of interesting things. But actually living in London, just got sick of it really, and everything's house prices, all that sort of stuff. So then, but I still like photographing in London because there's just so much. And then sort of Wiltshire, it's like going back 30 years. No one closes their doors, and it's like if you walk along the street,
So
don't
there
you?
you are from London. You think, right, well, I'll just nip in here, see what I can pinch.
Yeah, something there, but probably.
Because you're from the East End, you're bound to be like a thief or a rogue, aren't you?
a bit dodgy. So yeah, it's just so different. It's, you know, it's very rural, so it's quite a different
Whereabouts are you
challenge.
then? Whereabouts, what's the nearest sort of town of any size to you? Or are you in a town?
Salisbury,
Where, sorry?
Salisbury.
Okay, yeah, very nice.
That's
Old Sarum.
so that's not far from, so it's near basically Wiltshire. It's near not far from Stonehenge. You could probably walk there in about an hour from where I live.
You, I when I was a young man, I didn't really study much in the way of English literature, but I sort of got into reading Charles Dickens and Thomas Hardy
Right.
in a creative romantic phase. Well, the Thomas Hardy was, and I
Yeah.
got so drawn into Thomas Hardy books, I actually had I must have been about 19. I spent a week in Salisbury at the youth hostel camping
Right.
there. And I just went to different places that Thomas Hardy, because he used real places, just changed the name
Yeah.
slightly, you know, and soaked up the whole Hardy atmosphere, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of a bit of a challenge because it's more, you know, like I said, it's just different, so
Yeah.
different, very rural. You go on lots of walks and things. So,
Your eye, do you find your eye as having to work harder, or is
just
it starting to come to you?
it. I don't know. It's quite good because you just look at different things where I would, you know, where before. In London, you just sort of it's more man-made stuff in London. So here, it's just I don't know. It is a bit of a challenge, but I'm kind of getting used to it. In like in London, if you start put a tripod up anywhere, you get like either security run after you or people or the drunks start stopping you and things like that. So out here, if you put a tripod up with a pinhole, you get people stopping you, but they're really interested in what you're doing. You know, we're in London, they're just suspicious of you.
Yeah, they either want to move you on or beat you up or
Yeah,
get money off you.
yeah, something like that. Yeah,
And that's just the people you know.
yeah, so it's a bit of a challenge, but it's quite good in a way.
Did
Just
you? So when did you move out of London?
in last
Last November, you said. And
November
so did you?
21.
I mean, there's a lot of photo walks and meetups in London,
Yeah.
various parts of the analog community. Did you ever go
No,
on any of those?
that's the only thing. I've just apart from like a couple of people I know who are still doing photography commercially, I didn't have sort of been on any meetups. Not really.
Oh, you missed a
I
proper
know.
treat.
I don't know where.
When I first got back into when I first got into podcasts in 2000 and 2011, and started listening to the FPP, suddenly my eyes were open to a whole world of sort of sub-genres like Polaroid, and
Yeah.
that's when I got into Polaroid. I'd already got a pinhole camera shortly after I discovered Twitter and realized, and Flickr in particular, Flickr then realized very, very quickly there was these groups of folks who weren't that far away from me, you know.
Right, yeah.
And through one of these platforms we would link up, and you know, I've got a bunch of Polaroid friends, and who we meet up not just in London. I'm part of a little Facebook group called C Click Squared. See it, click it, square. So that's like SX70 type pictures, you
All
know.
right, okay.
And but you know, if I go to that, I normally take a Holger with me. So a group of us meet up for that, and photowalk.me, that website, you'll often see
Yeah, I think I've
walk
seen on that. Yeah.
lomography. I've been on a lomography walk in London. There was meant to be one last weekend
All right.
in based Brixton Way by Parallax Photography, organized by the
Okay.
London Camera Project, who does stuff with the lomography lady whose name just escapes me at the moment. So that you know, but you've moved to wheelchair now. There's no
Yeah.
one. You must be the only wheelchair film photographer
I probably
out there.
am, yeah, because I, yeah, and I was working. Where was I? I think it was Castle Combe. There's that famous bridge there, where they get loads of people, and I was sort of down on the banks, with the little, with my I think it was reality, so Satellite, I think it was that one, and I was just looking on my app to sort of work out the reciprocity, and these people are going, no, what's that camera? Are you shooting it with your phone? And I was saying, no, it's a pinhole camera. And they
But
went, oh,
I'm
what's
using
that
modern
there?
technology to work out the
Yeah,
exposure.
and like, no, it shoots film. And they go, film? You know, no one shoots that anymore. But it's literally, yeah, I don't think there is anybody does film out here.
There will be. There will
Maybe,
be.
yeah.
Yeah.
But there might
You
be sort
should,
of
you don't do
maybe.
Twitter, do you? Do you Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, but I don't use it very much.
There is a it's really good film community
Yeah.
type folks on Twitter. And I've met loads of people through Twitter, so you might find by
Maybe. Maybe
but instead
when
of it, here's a tip, James. Man of mystery, photographic man of mystery. Now your cover's been blown a bit by
I
coming on
know.
here. Why don't you just say, look, are there any, put a picture and say, any other wheelchair photographers? Anyone, you
Yeah,
know?
I know there's a
Yeah.
couple, but who I follow, but they're all digital photographers.
Okay, you might be able to convert them and evangelize.
Never know, it'd be good, but I'll have to see really. Maybe when Holger Week's on, might find some other people, but
You don't use
no.
any instant film these days?
No, I mean, I've got one of those what it's called now, Lang camera, you know, where you put the peel apart stuff in, which was really good, but I would like
Well,
to.
there's a Kickstarter, it's been funded. I think it's still open at the moment. And
Oh,
they've made a back for it to take
really?
Instax wide.
Oh, wow. I have to
It's
look
a,
at
it's
that.
you can back it for about £300, which
Right.
in the past I would have probably done it, but not now. I haven't got £300, you
Yeah,
know. So that's one way of reusing old land cameras. I think that Kickstarter's still going.
yeah.
I forget the name of the organisation that's doing it, but they've done stuff before, so I think they can be trusted. And there's a guy in France who's on the RB67 groups, because I do have an RB67, don't use it much.
Oh yeah,
And
they.
he does a conversion of an Instax square camera, right? So
Yeah.
which takes that square, like slightly smaller Polaroid style, but in Fuji makes it. And for about €350, he'll supply you, he goes out and buys the Instax square camera, butchers it in a very professional way and makes a nice back for you. And
Right.
the stuff he makes is super cool, really
Yeah.
good. And I'm really tempted about that because I quite like my RB67,
It's just
and
quite big, isn't it?
it is big, yeah. But you know, it's a proper man's camera, not like these holders that you're
Yeah,
pussyfooting around with.
I know.
I'm teasing it. I don't use it very often, and I tend to use it for very specific projects. So that's the challenges of moving from a city
I mean,
to rural.
it is. I mean, I might go out a bit later, but it's like lots of places to go around here, just sort of just to, and they're
Well,
not too far away.
you've still got Salisbury pretty much on your doorstep, if not on
Yeah,
your
that's
doorstep.
about
So
7 miles
that's a
away.
big place. You know, if you want to do busyness and some buildings, well, that's you. And then you've got like Stonehenge and Old Sarum and other parts of
Avebury's not too
Avebury Ring.
far away. I mean, there's
That's a
lots
place
of,
I've stopped at loads of times in the past, you know.
there's lots of kind of mystical places around here.
Yeah.
Lots of places to
Lots
walk.
of ley lines and
Yeah, so it's quite lots of,
mysticism.
yeah, so quite a, it's just sort of trying to keep it all the same style, really. But I said I do go back to London quite a lot, so that's, quite like doing that as
And
well.
what's a day job now? Is there a day job?
Nah, I've given up. I sold my flat and everything and just gave up
Did you? So were you
working.
right? Okay, that's
Just,
good. I'm kind of with you on that, but now I'm back working again.
I
So
do.
did you? I like to think that you gave up working and went to live in a narrow on a narrow boat or something.
Nah, it'd be nice to, but nah, just an ordinary place, really.
Excellent.
So are you working full time again now?
No, I mean, I gave up. Corey used to rib me endlessly about this because I kept talking about stopping work for ages before I actually did it. So I did. I just during lockdown, it wasn't it just so happened lockdown had started. I was going to do it anyway. I quit after nearly 40 years in the electricity industry, and just walked away. And the idea was to take some time off, and be like a hippie and find myself. You know, spend some time on creative projects. Extend the dark room so I could start doing workshops, which I did. Do some stuff around the house and. After a few months, just before I left, I gave them 6 month notice. My boss offered me 5 days a month
All right.
to concentrate on things like training and development and stuff. So
Right.
I did that until June this year when I quit for the second time and finally put that life behind me. And I got a job working in our local hospital.
All right. That's
In Huntingdon, 3 days, 3 days a week. So I
right.
go in and do what I need to do and come home.
You still
It's
got 4 days to
well, I've got a 4 day week. Yeah, I was off yesterday, which was Thursday, as we're recording this on a Friday. So
Right.
I've now got a 4 day weekend,
That's
so I
good.
can do a bit of. I still have to do the shopping and cleaning, but I'm very streamlined at cleaning now. Julie would say you're not very good at it. I say I'm streamlined and
That's what
focused.
I'd say as well.
Right. So I do
Round
what I do what needs to be done. And then Julie, she's on the floor seeing at the dog.
afterwards.
She's on the floor seeing at the dog, and she looks under the sofa and says,
You haven't done
"Have
under.
you cleaned under there?" I said, "Well, no one looks under there, do they? Apart from you on your hands and knees."
Sounds like me, yeah. That's what I do. Normally clean all the bits you can see and then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Life's too short to be cleaning, so.
I know.
I've cleaned the bog this morning before I spoke to you,
Yeah,
and did the hoovering upstairs. But I haven't done every room because we've got some spare rooms and no one goes in them, you know. So and there's a bathroom upstairs, no one uses it. I ain't cleaning that, you know. I said to Julie, "Well, if you want to go and clean the bathroom that only the ghost uses, well, go and do it. You know, knock yourself out. I'm going in the dark room, you know."
So you're gonna go in the dark room now
I
then.
am. Yeah, I'm into. I'm getting into the whole world of color photography, but that's another story about color and black and white.
Oh
I mean,
God,
it's
yeah.
how you see or how you
Well,
don't
yeah, it's
see.
like, I mean, some of my work's color, but not that much. Really, I mean, I used to like doing the Kodak Vision 3 stuff,
Never
which,
really used it. Tempted.
yeah, so I quite like using that really if I did do it, but it's just so expensive color film now.
Well, it's getting so. It wasn't, was it? But now
No,
we've got there's a perfect storm of things.
there's a few things.
Kodak of I mean, when they stopped making film somewhere like Mexico,
Yeah.
they closed the factories, brought it back to Rochester. A lot of the lines that so they decided to scrap a lot of the lines they did have to meet demand. Demand has grown again, and
Yeah.
they can't keep up. Partly that's to do with supply chain problems. Partly it's to do with wars in Ukraine and fuel
Yeah,
prices
so
and
the
all sorts of reasons, I think. And of course,
raw ingredients
raw
and
ingredients. And
materials, yeah.
I think as soon as color film comes in now, it flies
Yeah,
off the
definitely.
shelf. I saw a post from Blue Moon Camera over in Seattle or Portland, one of those places in Washington State, and they posted that they'd just taken a big delivery of Portra 400, but they said, we're not selling it online. If you want it,
You'll come in.
you can phone us up and we'll send you some, but we're not set, we're limiting what we
Yeah.
sell to people, or you can come in,
Yeah.
and people were, and of course it's just getting expensive, but so you've got to think carefully about how you use it, I suppose.
Oh
But
no.
my not every color, the color black and white thing is a really interesting topic, and we haven't really got time to explore
No.
it now. But I've been heavily influenced by looking at the work of Alex Webb,
Yeah.
and Alex uses color, but he just doesn't use color because it's impactful. He uses color in a way to add depth and meaning to a picture,
Yeah.
and it's not just about the color. He has photographs of many different layers as well, of which color plays an important world in it, in your face color, but based with good compositions. And
Yeah.
so I'm trying to develop my color eye after mainly black and white,
Yeah.
and scanning, which I hated anyway,
Yeah,
scanning color I was a bit crap
it's
at.
quite hard.
And since I taught myself RA4 printing, suddenly color makes a bit more sense to me. So I've got I'm going back over negatives from 5 6 years ago
Good.
and making prints that I just couldn't get anything from,
Yeah.
and so at the moment I'm not actually exposing a lot of any kind of film. I'm just spending loads of time in the dark room.
Yeah, but I'm always out 2 or 3 times a week shooting. That's why I just such a, I've got a backlog basically of stuff
Well,
to
that's
do.
okay. I, you know, where, there, there's several different ways, aren't there? You can either be out all the time creating more images and not worry about it, because there'll come a point, as I think
Yeah.
either Wayne Setzer or Greg Obst said to me in the large format forum, a Facebook group. Look, I'm getting older. They're older than me. I think these guys are perhaps in their 60s, although I'm not far behind them. And they said, there'll come a point where I just can't get out with a large format camera.
Yeah.
So I've got all these days, well, hopefully they've got all these days ahead of them where they can spend time in the dark room.
Yeah.
And they say, I just like being out in the environment with a camera and that whole vibe, which I do too. But
Yeah.
my mindset means I get a bit stressed if it all starts piling up,
Yeah, I know. I mean I like sometimes I go out and I don't even take a single shot, but I think you can still enjoy yourself, not shouldn't get hung up really about you've got to get a shot, which I used when I was doing it professionally. It was always like you've got to get the shot, doesn't matter what happens, you've got to get the shot, so it's quite nice to go out and not have to get a shot, you can just sort of still enjoy it whether you get a shot or
Well,
not.
you know that whether you've been out in the lovely Wiltshire countryside, probably, you know that whatever happens, you can get back to the area fairly easily
Yeah.
when the weather perhaps is slightly different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you can revisit it, and that's always good because
Yeah, because
the cost of film and processing,
yeah.
what why if the lighting isn't quite right on that gravestone, well, Wow.
come back.
When will it be, come
Yeah.
back and try it again?
Well, it is, it's so, it changes so much around here,
Yeah.
just in a couple of months, everything looks different, which never used to in London. It was always the same. It's his. Yeah, it's just.
James, it's been a real pleasure. I think we're going to mainly because I need to go
Yeah.
in the need to go in the dark room. I wasn't planning on speaking with you, but
Definitely.
it's been delightful. I'm glad we managed to
Thank you.
persevere and
Eventually, yeah.
get the connection going. I'm glad we've exposed the man of mystery and laid
Thank
him bare to the world.
you. Yeah, and we've discovered we can use it on
Yeah, and
laptop
you can,
as
and
well.
so we can now say to people, yes, you can use your laptop. I don't know about iPads still, but
Right. Yeah.
certainly your
Yeah.
laptop can. So James, if people want to find you on the socials, where do they look?
Basically, the easiest one is Instagram, which is Speedy Snapper, and on Facebook, I'm on the Lensless podcast and the Holger group.
Yeah.
That's
Are
it,
they just
really.
the two groups, or do you dabble in any others?
I think I'm on some of the others, like building your own cameras, and but they're the main ones I post on, really. I don't really post on any of the other ones.
Okay. Excellent. I think that's probably it then. So it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for coming on. You've been a
Thank
very
you for
very sweet
persevering.
a very sweet guest. And one day I'm sure we'll meet up in person. Although
Yeah.
now if you'd have still been in London, I'd have said I'm in there in like 2 weeks' time. Anyway,
Yeah.
you've moved out to Wiltshire. I used to get that way quite a lot, but not
Yeah.
now, not these days.
Are you going to the photography show?
Yeah, I'm hoping to. I've got my free press pass.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna go there as well.
With large format photography podcast written on it.
Oh, that's
So
good.
that's the 20th, is it, of September?
I can't remember.
I think so.
I think I'm going on the Saturday.
Yeah, that's my plan at the moment. That's whatever date that is, it's
Yeah.
around about the time I start 2 weeks leave. We're off in the caravan on the Monday up to North Norfolk,
Right.
but I think I've got my pass. I haven't actually got it, but I've got an email to say I've got a pass.
Cool.
So I guess I'll see you there then.
Yeah.
And anyone else who cares to go along to the photography show in
Yeah.
Birmingham on, I said the 20th, but I'm not sure it is actually,
Yeah.
whatever day it is in September.
Yeah, I think I'm going on the first day, which is, I think it's a Saturday. I
Yeah,
can't remember.
yeah. No,
Okay.
I'll be going on the Saturday because I think Sunday I'll be getting ready for going away.
Holidays. Cool.
Thank you, James.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, well, we'll chat again either virtually or in
We will.
person. Thanks very much. Bye
Okay.
now.
Thank you. Bye.